Question 13. Maybe it would be merciful if God had an alternate plan, but where does it state this in Scripture? Answer. In the Bible, some things are clearly stated, while other things are implied. Sometimes we read a verse that we think has a particular meaning, but it can reveal a different meaning when we take it literally or study it further. Other times, even scholars disagree or admit they do not know. It is evident in some scripture passages that the writer had knowledge that we have lost over the centuries. Look at a particular verse in 1 Peter that puzzles most commentators. There are several interpretations of the section that I have highlighted below, and one commentator suggested that only the early readers of this text are certain of the meaning. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." Who are these imprisoned spirits to whom Jesus went and preached? Some think he preached to demonic spirits, but logically that would have been a waste of time. Demons already knew who Jesus was, and they were not going to receive salvation through his ministry. It would have been contrary to the nature of Jesus to preach to imprisoned demonic spirits just to show them who is boss. It is not likely that he would have cast his pearls before swine. The Greek word for prison indicates that this is a place where spirits are being held in custody, but it does not indicate a place of punishment. The Greek word for preached indicates that Jesus heralded and proclaimed a divine truth. We could speculate that Jesus preached to righteous saints. However, in context, it seems that Jesus was preaching to people who once had been disobedient. So the question is, what disobedient people is Peter referring to? Could these imprisoned spirits include all those people in the Old Testament whom God ordered to be killed? What about the verse in 2 Peter 2, 5, which says that God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah and seven other people? Is that a contradiction? We often assume that the phrase, "did not spare," means that God sent them all to hell. However, the Greek word for spare means to forgo infliction or retribution or to treat leniently. By saying that God did not spare them, Peter was saying that God did not treat them leniently. Indeed, God did not treat them leniently. He killed all but eight of them. People of other religions, or people of no faith at all, enjoy pointing out to the rest of us how violent the Old Testament is, and therefore how mean our God must be. It is true that in the Old Testament, God often ordered people, even children, to be slain. We know that God had to keep his people pure because the Messiah was going to be birthed through their bloodline. When the Israelites mingled with those who served other gods, they tended to forget their own God and serve idol gods. They also intermarried, which caused many problems. The Old Testament message of righteousness and atonement was directed to God's people, the Israelites. It seemed that God spent most of his time trying to keep them separate from the rest of the world and chastising them when they were disobedient. The Israelites did not spend their time trying to reach the lost. If somebody of another religion followed the God of the Israelites, it was not because of the proselytizing of the Israelites. It was because that person witnessed the mighty deeds of their God. Rahab, for instance, hid the spies when they secretly came to Jericho. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, she said to the men, "Everybody in this city has heard about you and the mighty things your God has done for you. They have all been terrified that you might show up. There is no doubt in my mind that your God is the God of heaven and earth." When the walls of Jericho fell, God spared Rahab and her family. In Matthew 1, verse 5, we find Rahab listed in the genealogy of Jesus. What happened to all the people in Old Testament times whom God allowed to be destroyed? When they died, did they go to the place in Sheol for the wicked, the place that we know of as hell? Or did God give them a chance at eternal life by sending Jesus to preach to their spirits? Not only does this make perfect sense based on the scripture in 1 Peter, it was verified in the word that Ronnie received while in paradise. After he was crucified, Jesus preached to these people, and many believed in him and were taken from the grave and led to paradise. Another interesting verse was spoken by Jesus himself in John chapter 11, verse 25, when he said to Martha after her brother Lazarus died, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." The discussion had been about the death of Lazarus, when it suddenly changed to the affirmation that Jesus is the resurrection and the life for those who believe on him. Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Indeed, those who believe in Jesus while they are alive will never die. They simply pass from this life to the next, where they have a promise to live eternally with him. Their covenant relationship with Jesus relieved them of the penalty of death. What did Jesus mean when he said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live"? When reading that verse in the past, I thought that Jesus was repeating himself by stating the same truth two different ways. But could Jesus have been speaking literally when he said, as the verse reads in the NASB translation, He who believes in me will live even if he dies"? If so, Jesus described precisely what is happening in the valley of decision for those who believe, even though they have died. He also described what happened when, after he was crucified, he preached to those who had never heard. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, tells us that death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. But as Jesus said, death will never have power over one who believes.